This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today, and I got to say, it is a gorgeous day across the upper Midwest, and I am excited about today's topic, and to me, it's sort of a spillover from yesterday. I don't know about you, but yesterday's show absolutely nourished my soul. Coming off of that intense week of that DVD shoot, I was just parched, and I was actually just lonesome to connect with you live again. And so to have a whole show where we just played our favorite worship songs and heard from you about scripture that God's been speaking to you about, just to have a whole hour around worship and God's word was so beautiful to me. I pray it nourished your soul as well. So today we're talking about the Holy Spirit, about the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And of the Trinity, I would say the Holy Spirit gets the most bum rap. And so I'm excited to talk about the preciousness of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And who better to talk with us about that is Stormy Omardian. She's got a brand new book out, Lead Me, Holy Spirit. You know, I just had lunch with a friend and told her who I was having on the show today. And she says, well, you need to know her book, The Power of a Praying Wife, changed my life, she said. And I've heard that from countless women. But this is her new book, Lead Me, Holy Spirit, Longing to Hear the Voice of God. You are in for a treat. I just know this is going to be a powerful hour. So let me get right to it and introduce our guest, and we'll get her on the show. Stormy Omardian is a best-selling author with more than 23 books in print. The Power of the Praying series, which includes The Power of a Praying Wife, Devotional, The Power of Praying Woman, and her many other books include Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On, The Prayer That Changes Everything, and Praying the Bible into Your Life. Stormy and her husband, Michael, have been married more than 39 years and are the parents of two married children. You can learn more about her on the web at StormyOmardian.com. Stormy, so great to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Susie. So great to be with you. And I have to tell you, I wrote more than 23 books, because you did say 23 books and it's 23 million.
No, I said 23 million in print.
Did you?
Yeah. So,
I thought you said 23 books, and I thought, oh my gosh, 23 books, but that's going to seem like, you know, I shouldn't be on your show.
23 million books in print. Wowie zowie. So we like to start out talking scripture, and you chose Romans 8:28. Great passage. And so we know that all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that God works all things together. Talk about that passage and why you chose that one.
Well, I love the fact that God turns everything around for good, you know, and but we know that some things don't turn out well, you know, to certain people and or to us. And just studying that passage more and more, I realize that passage is talking about prayer. That whole, you know, that chapter there, a few verses before, is talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray, and because we don't know how to pray, and he helps us, you know. And so, for me, everything works together for good if we're praying. If we're not praying, and we're not, you know, living God's way and not reading his word, I doubt that everything turns out for good. But if we are praying and we're walking with the Lord and we're communicating with God, not only, you know, speaking to him, but hearing him speak to us, that to me is when things work out together for good.
You know, I'm really glad you made that connection, because all too often you hear this verse misused as if to say, really doesn't really matter what I do, because God's going to work it all out anyway.
Exactly.
But that's really not the case. Lots of people live and die beneath God's best will, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. And then sometimes blame God for the fact that things don't work out in the best way, you know. And when it actually is, he gives us a choice as whether we're going to walk with him, whether we're going to pray, you know. And that's one of the biggest things, is communicating with him, communicating with God. And that's the reason I write all my books, really, basically, is to help people be active in that communication with God, not only, you know, speaking to him in prayer, but listening for his voice to speak to your heart as well. And he does that by the Holy Spirit in us.
Indeed. Well, you open the book about a kind of a dark time in your life, and it was really kind of your first significant encounter with the Holy Spirit. Would you mind telling us that story?
I had been raised by a mentally ill mother, and so she was very abusive, and physically abusive, emotionally abusive, and she locked me in a closet much of my early childhood. And so what that did was caused me to grow up depressed and hurt and lonely and just suffering from every kind of negative emotion you can imagine, you know. And that just led me, as once I got out of school, high school, and a few years of college that I went, I just searched through everything to find a way out of the pain I felt. You know, I was just very, felt suicidal a lot of the time, very hopeless and helpless and all those negative things. And I was working in, I left college to work in Hollywood as a singer and a dancer and an actress and all that stuff. I was working a lot, but still getting more and more depressed all the time, more and more anxiety I was dealing with, and I just felt like I just couldn't live with it anymore. I just wanted to die. I wanted to get rid of the pain. I didn't see any other way out. And that was the thing. I guess it's not that I wanted to die. It's just I didn't see another way out of the pain. And so as I'm planning this, you know, how to get enough sleeping pills to end my life, a friend of mine took me to meet her pastor. And he told me about Jesus in a way that I could understand. And he said that if I received Jesus, he would give me the Holy Spirit, as it's promised in his word that, you know, if we receive Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And because, you know, Paul says in Romans 8:9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And so I was really fascinated with that. And he said that he would change me from the inside out. And I had a purpose for my life, and he would help me achieve that purpose, the Holy Spirit in me, the Jesus, you know. And so I wanted that. So I received the Lord and that day, and my life began to change. Just I began to feel hope, and a sense of hope, which I never had before. And I just started reading the Bible, going to church, hearing the teaching of the Word, learning how to pray. It was a praying church, so you learned how to pray. And I began to see my life change, and the greatest change of which was getting free of that depression and anxiety and all that. And that happened in a special time of counseling, of Christian mm-hmm. counseling, where the Lord really met me where I was and took that away.
You know, Storm, you often say that devil sees our potential long before we ever do. And you think about what he saw in you and how much he wanted to take you out. And you look at the millions upon millions upon millions of people you've impacted with your ministry. It's just mind-boggling. But the reason I bring that up is I believe there's somebody listening today whom the enemy is convinced there is no way out. This is as good as it gets, and it's mm-hmm. pretty bad.
Yeah.
But maybe, and I'm sure this is true, he sees some kind of potential, and God has a plan and a purpose. Speak to that person who feels like this is a dead end for me.
Well, I know that feeling like, well, this is as good as it gets. It's never going to get any better. You know, you just give up hope that it's never going to get any better. But if you receive the Lord, if you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have a relationship with God. And as long as you are doing your best to live God's way and read His Word and talk to God and worship Him, there's only one direction you're going, and that is from glory to glory and strength to strength. And you would have to turn your back completely on the Lord and walk the other way, and completely on the Holy Spirit and walk the other way, in order for that to not be true. And because that is true, no matter what it feels like, it can feel like it's never going to get any better, but it's not true, because God will not leave you where you are. He wants us to change. He always wants us to change, because He always wants us to become more like Him. And so sometimes He leaves us, you know, in a certain place for a while until we can really grasp that He wants us to cling to Him and not to anything else. You know, I tell people when I'm talking about, you know, the Israelites walking through the wilderness, that God had to take them through the wilderness to get Egypt out of their heart. Mm. And that's what He does with us. Sometimes it feels like we're in a wilderness, but God wants us to draw closer to Him, not further away. He wants us to depend more on Him, not less on Him, not think, you know, that we can take care of this, you know. I'll call God when I need Him, but I can take care of this on my own. God wants us to become so dependent on Him that we know that we can't take a step without Him, because that's true liberty. And the reason He does that, the reason He gets us to that dependent life upon the Lord, is because He wants to take us to places that we can't get to without Him. And that's what I would say to the person who feels like their life is just at a standstill. They can't go any further, and nothing good ever happens, and this is as good as it gets, and it's not good enough. Just know that God is wanting to have a closer relationship with you, and that requires you talking to Him and you listening for His voice to speak to your heart, and because He wants you to draw close to Him, be dependent upon Him, because He wants to take you to places that you can't get to without Him.
Amen. His will for you is your best case scenario.
Yeah.
Well, if you just tuned in today, really glad you joined me. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. My guest today is Stormy O'Marty, and she's got a new book, Lead Me, Holy Spirit, Longing to Hear the Voice of God. We've got two copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question for Stormy today. Maybe you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit that's left you wondering, is this the Holy Spirit? Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. Stormy, you wrote that the Holy Spirit doesn't make people weird. He makes them peace-filled. Say more about that.
Yes, there's so many misconceptions about the Holy Spirit, just as you said in your introduction, the least, understood, or however you worded it, it was exactly right on. One thing I want to do with this book is to help people understand who the Holy Spirit is and what He does, He wants us to hear His voice, and He wants us to follow His leading. But in order to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we cannot hear from Him reliably if we don't have a solid foundation in the Word, which means we have to read the Bible. And when you become so familiar with God's Word that you hear it in your mind, and that God can speak to you from the Scripture, and you begin to hear His voice as you read. You begin to hear His voice speaking to your heart at certain times, and the more you read the Bible, the more God's Word becomes alive to your heart, and the more the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about it. And then, you will eventually not be able to hear God speaking to your heart if you don't hear Him speaking to you from His Word first. So that's so important that you be in the Word. That's one of the reasons, is so you can hear God's voice, understand who God is, and understand who the Holy Spirit is, and who Jesus is. They're all God. They're God the Father, God Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all God, but the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, and God's Spirit is with us when we receive His Son, and that's how God is with us all the time. And you're wondering, how can God be with everybody? But He can be if you receive Jesus. You've got the righteousness of Jesus in you, so the Holy Spirit can live in you. We're God's temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can't be a temple of nothing. We are a temple where the Holy Spirit inhabits, and that's so important. Did I answer your question, or did I go off on a tangent?
No, well, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay.
I love it. Jesus says, my sheep, they know my voice. I want you to say a word, too. The Word is everything, being in the Word. And by having that be our plumb line in our life and our breath, responding to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, I would really submit that if we continually ignore the nudges of the Holy Spirit, we become spiritually deaf, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And we get into trouble not hearing. The Holy Spirit will prompt us, to do things or not do things, or to say go this way or don't go that way, or respond in this fashion, And when we hear, as we read the Word and we become so familiar with God's voice and hear Him speaking to us from the Word, we're going to hear that voice when we're away from the Word. We have the Word in us as we read it and everything, but as we're out in our life and doing things and making decisions every day, we're going to be able to hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit in us, and we're going to be able to hear His prompting to our heart and be able to trust it, more and more. As you trust it more and more, you'll obey it when you hear it. And I had an example of that not long ago, just recently, I think I put it in the book, but I was going out to an appointment, and I was going to be late if I didn't leave right then. But on my way out to the car in the garage, I just had a prompting of the Spirit that I needed to go back in and take care of something. I think it was a phone call or an email or something. I had to do it, even though it might make me late. I had to take care of it. I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, take care of that now, take care of that now. And so I did. I went back. It probably took me a minute or two to do it, and then I got back in the car. and drove the way I always do into town, which is a narrow two-lane highway where people go pretty fast on it. They go 50, which is pretty fast for a narrow two-lane highway. I mean, that's the speed limit. And just two cars ahead of me, there was an accident, a really bad accident that involved four or five cars.
Mm.
And it was terrible. It was spread clear across the road. I mean, clear across both lanes. And it just happened not more than a minute before I got there. And I'm thinking, you know, I could have been right in that. You know, it was a really bad, it was bad. And I knew immediately that I had obeyed the Lord, and it really saved me from a bad accident. I don't know what happened, but I know there was at least one head-on collision, and then other cars had piled up in it. And I knew it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and I listened. It hasn't always been the case that I always listen.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I've just learned that in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years.
And even if it doesn't make sense to your sensibilities,
yeah,
you know,
right?
We were just unpacking Proverbs 3:5-6 yesterday on the show, and how acknowledge Him isn't just a nod. You just nod, okay, I see you over there. Acknowledge
yeah.
Him.
Right.
That word really means to intimately know, to recognize and distinguish between voices. And, you know,
exactly.
when my son was on a worship team many years ago, in a couple, I don't know if they were sound guys, tech guys, or on the team, I don't remember, but both of them, driving separate, even though it was going to make them late, felt the inspiration to take a different way to church. And they
wow.
both would have been crossing the 35W bridge when it collapsed. And so,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
And so we miss out on so much when we explain away that inner nudge.
Oh,
so
I believe so. I believe that we get into trouble and bad things can happen when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit leading us.
Mm.
And that's another reason I wrote the book, is just because I want people to really know that the Holy Spirit will lead us to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And we can't depend on that if we're not listening.
Mm, so good. 877-933-2484. Maybe you've got a story about a time when God nudged you by His Spirit to do something or not do something, and you saw how it turned out, and you thought, okay, God definitely knows more than I do. 877-933-2484. We've got Lisa calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick comment to Stormy before my question.
Hi, Lisa.
Really quick. Hi, Stormy. Really quick. 2 years ago, I was all secular. I was not a Christian, and my marriage was falling apart. And at the very bottom, my husband said, "Read The Power of a Praying Wife," and I did. It was the first Christian book I ever read, and I picked it up, and it thus began my Christian walk. And I just want to thank you so much for that. Because of that, I'm leading my husband and I are leading my stepchildren, his children, into a walk with the Lord. So my question out of that is my 8-year-old stepdaughter, like 2 nights ago, kind of, she said in her prayers, "I give my sins to you, Lord, please give me a clean heart." And, you know, and she said, "How do I know when the Holy Spirit is talking to me?" So I understand the idea of the Holy Spirit, but how do I explain that to a child?
Okay. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God are three separate manifestations, but of one God, you know, so that she understands that. So the Holy Spirit is really God's Spirit in her, speaking to her. Does she know the Lord?
Oh, we got her mic down. We got to bring it back up again.
Oh, okay. Well, I can go ahead and talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If she knows the Lord, that's an important aspect of it, because when you receive Jesus, you know, He promised to send the Holy Spirit. That was one of His promises, and He has kept that promise, so that when we receive Him, we receive the Holy Spirit at the same time. Now, there's different manifestations of the Holy Spirit and specific outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about all of that in this book, and certain gifts of the Holy Spirit and all that. I'm not talking about that in this book. I'm just talking about the basic. You receive Jesus, He gives you the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit in you, and a lot of people don't think they have the Spirit unless they have a major manifestation, and that's not true. There are times when God will pour out His Spirit upon us for specific reasons. But this basic receiving of the Holy Spirit, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, can only happen when we receive Jesus. I don't see it happening any other way. And in the Old Testament, He was poured out on them for specific reasons. But in the New Testament time, after Jesus, you know, suffered and died on the cross, and He sent the Holy Spirit, now we are filled with the Holy Spirit when we receive the Lord. So helping her to understand that, if she hasn't received the Lord, that may help her receive him. You know, that maybe would be one of the things that draws her toward receiving Jesus, because you have to receive Jesus because it's his righteousness that lives in us then. The Holy Spirit can't live in an unsanctified place, but we are made holy and sanctified because Jesus, we have received him, his righteousness into our hearts. And that's how we can receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, from then on, if you read the Bible, just anywhere, just start reading the Bible, God is going to start speaking to you about that scripture. Even just reading a verse, he'll speak to your heart. And the more you read the Bible, you're going to hear God speaking to your heart about it. And that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's God's Spirit speaking to you. Because the Bible is the Holy Spirit-breathed word of God.
Mm. You know,
he will speak to you.
So good. And Lisa, we used to have family meetings, our boys are grown now, when we would pray together, and then we would just try to teach them how to hear from the Lord. We would pray about a certain situation of one of the kids in school, and then we'd say to the brothers, are you sensing anything from God that you want to say to Luke about this? Well, I think God's saying, you know, just wanting to cultivate
That's
an
great.
Atmosphere where they could hear from him and mm-hmm. take a risk and share what they think God's saying, just to make it a normal, everyday thing.
Yes, that's great. Mm. That's great, Susie, to do exactly that, and just helping them to see that if they read the Bible, God's going to speak to them, and that's the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And when they're not reading the Bible, you know, they're out in their everyday life, they're going to hear that small, quiet voice, especially if they ask for it, and especially if they say, Lord, lead me by your Spirit. Show me, Holy Spirit, what you want me to do. Just help me be led by your Spirit always in everything I do.
What a gift the Holy Spirit is within us. And so, Stormy, what would you say is the most misunderstood aspect of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think that one that I just said is that people, I know so many people who have felt or feel badly because they think they don't have the Holy Spirit. Even though they received Jesus, they don't think they have the Holy Spirit. So only people who have specific spiritual gifts or manifestations, they're the only ones. And that is not true. We all have the Holy Spirit. If we receive Jesus, we all have the Holy Spirit in us. And because, like I said, we are a temple. It says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can't be a temple of nothing, you know. And the only way you become a temple of the Holy Spirit is to have the Holy Spirit in you. And you don't have to have all those manifestations or spiritual gifts in order for that to happen. I mean, those are wonderful. And when God pours one of those out on you or however that happens, but you still have the Holy Spirit. You can still hear from God, even if you have had no other manifestation of the Holy Spirit other than your faith in him, and you've received Jesus, and you're reading the Word. That's the only qualifications. You've received Jesus, so you do have the Holy Spirit.
And you can really walk in an increased capacity to walk with the Holy Spirit as you read God's Word, as you do what he says, as you do, as you said, pray, Lord, lead me by your Spirit. I mean, some experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit more so than others because they're acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You could have written this book. That's exactly right. That, and what you just said is so important for people to know that walking in the Spirit, which the Bible talks about a lot, means to be dependent on the Holy Spirit for your life, you know. And so you recognize that he lives in you and abides in you, and you trust him to comfort you and guide you and help you just like he promises. And when we commit our lives to him, he directs our steps. And just as you said, you know, when we ask him, lead me, Holy Spirit, he will give you the power, not just for your will, but for his, the power to do what his will is.
Well, we've got just about a minute and a half before break, and I've got a whole load of questions for you on the other side. But I would love just, in short, if you could say something that surprised you about this topic as you worked your way through this book.
One of the things that really surprised me is that the Holy Spirit will work through us or in us. And through us, in ways that make it possible for us to do things that we couldn't do on our own, and that was so clear. If I started in Genesis and read through the Bible, of just pulling out everything I could find about where the Holy Spirit moved, and he's practically on every page of the Bible, but that he, you know, God wants us to live a life where we can accomplish things that can't happen if he's not enabling us to do it. And it's, you know, a life where we know that if he doesn't come through for us, we're ruined, you know. And we know it. And when he does come through for us, he enables us to do things that we couldn't possibly do on our own. And that was the biggest, it really hit me. that's how powerful that is.
You know, Stormy, I just came through a project that was so beyond me, mentally, physically, emotionally, in every single way. And I wanted to bail. And I said, Lord, please, can I bail? And he said, no, go forward and trust me. I would have missed out on the adventure of the loaves and fishes multiplication had I not trusted. And we miss out on so much by our unbelief, don't we?
Yes, exactly. And that's a perfect illustration, just what you said. That's a perfect illustration where I've been there, too. Well, this book was even, you know, like that for me. I thought, oh, God, I can't write this. I can write a whole encyclopedia and I wouldn't cover all of this. How can I get all of this information down where it's really meaningful for people live right where they are every single day? And it was impossible. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that I was enabled to do it, and I know that.
Mm. And then you got to partner with them because you opted to go forward in faith, which is so beautiful.
Exactly.
So beautiful. What an adventure the Lord invites us to. I'm talking to Stormy O'Mardian about her book, Lead Me, Holy Spirit, Longing to Hear the Voice of God. We welcome your questions. If you've got questions about the Holy Spirit, or if you've even had an experience where God prompted you, you moved, and love to know what that outcome was. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Stormy in just a moment. Shannon Wexelberg, love her. Oh, that's such good stuff. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Stormy O'Mardian about a powerful topic. Lead Me, Holy Spirit's the title of her new book, Longing to Hear the Voice of God. Stormy, I want to talk for a moment about getting comfortable around the Holy Spirit. Let me explain what I mean. In fact, I hope it comes out the way it's in my brain. But you'll hear people maybe who are maybe new believers or just from a different denominational context, and they may go into a worship center where some people are raising their hands and they think those people are weird. But then as they grow in their faith and in their comfort, they're like, okay, I am one of those people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you have people who've had horrible experiences with what they would call the Holy Spirit, but it's out of order, it's chaotic, and it really isn't the Holy Spirit. You know, strike a balance for us, because I don't think you can throw the baby out with the bathwater. I have been in situations where my hands are in the air and I'm like touching the hem of the Lord, and I know it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But you feel people are extremely cautious, and you understand why.
Exactly. Well, there seems to be like two extreme sides, you know, one side in the body of Christ, one side just cares only about the Word of God and wants nothing to do with any manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You know, even in prompting to their spirit, you know, they don't even want his name mentioned. Some are like that. But the other extreme are those who just allow unbiblical teaching and certain manifestations that they attribute to the Holy Spirit. But I feel when I've seen that, I mean, when I've seen it get really out of order like that, I feel like it's a manifestation of the flesh and not the Spirit. And so there has to be some middle ground here, you know, where the Word of God is studied and is the foundation, and the Holy Spirit brings it alive and enables us to do it. And I really wanted to help people understand that if you're in the Word, you're going to know what is biblical and what isn't. And you know that it says in there to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. It says that, you know, to clap your hands and to sing, you know. And these kind of things, the Bible doesn't say you're going to straight to hell when you do those things, you know. But so you'll know that that is scriptural. You know, these are biblical characters like David. You know, that's what they did, and that's what, you know, the Word says to do. So when you read the Word, you know that that's right. But the other things that seem frightening to you or really strange, I mean, I would trust those instincts if it's really strange and frightening. The Holy Spirit's not strange and frightening. He isn't. When you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you don't get weird and out of control. You become really humble. repentant, full of love for the Lord. Yes, faithful. Yes, you become... Your entire focus is on the Holy Spirit, and where there's manifestations where people are drawing attention to themselves. It should never be drawing attention to yourself. If the Holy Spirit is present, you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're either on your knees or your heart is at least bowed down before the Lord, and you become very humble and very. I just a sense of awe with his presence being, you know, being in your midst. And so, and that is always an indication when people become arrogant or self-serving or look at me or I want the attention on me or the attention is all about me. That is not the Holy Spirit at all. When you're in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the intention is all on him. It's all about him because he's everything.
And you look at instances in the Bible when God moves in, people tend to go face down.
Yeah.
You don't really have
exactly
a leg to stand on.
No,
you know?
exactly. Mm. You know, and they don't stand because they fall down because they can't stand up is what it is.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that they're throwing themselves to the ground. They can't stand in the presence of God. They bow before him. And that is what it just, I mean, that's why in the presence of the Holy Spirit, many people come to tears because it's just that repentant heart of love for the Lord.
When you read about these revivals, you'll read about something happening. And one of the predominant attributes is a sense of repentance and conviction over sin, where people in nearby neighborhoods are sitting at their kitchen table and they're suddenly aware of their need for a Savior. To me, that is so powerful.
Yes, and that's exactly it.
Let's talk, too, about this, where you see the Holy Spirit moves almost like the wind. It's an ebb and a flow. And so when we presume upon the Holy Spirit that it should look a certain way every single time and we can somehow manage that, do you know what I'm saying? Where it's going to look like this at every single meeting. That isn't the Holy Spirit either.
No, absolutely. No, he's God and we're not.
Yeah, right.
Better to always remember that.
Definitely.
Yeah, we allow the Spirit to do what he wants, but I'm telling you, he will never make you weird.
Mm-hmm.
He will never make you frightening to someone. I have been in meetings, you know, traveled all over and been in many churches and many just countless locations, and I have seen people do things. I mean, just get wild, and it was scary to me. And I'm a believer, you know. And I'm thinking it's scary to me, and I'm thinking, whoa, that is a manifestation of the flesh. That is not the Holy Spirit. Mm. What I'm seeing, because it draws attention to them. It's all eyes are on them.
And when you're an earnest seeker of the Lord, I'm this way too. I want everything he has for me. And you see something like that, and it makes you a little bit like sick to your stomach. It's like,
yes, it does.
Yeah, there's something in it that's like, this is in conflict with my spirit. This,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's flesh. It really is flesh. When you see, I'm sure that there's certain, just maybe bondage just fleshly things in that person that come out, that are manifesting, and it's scary to people around.
But that is different than a person maybe who's not had an experience with lifting holy hands in praise,
right?
Because they would call that weird. And so that's what I was trying to make the distinction about. Just because maybe it's something you've not, you may be reading the Bible on your knees. Okay, you'd never done that maybe, but this person has been brought to their knees. And as you said, that can be found in Scripture, and that's a good way to determine, right?
That's the way to determine it. If something's seems strange to you, but it's found in Scripture, and it says in Scripture this is what you're supposed to do, then you trust the Word of God, that there's nothing weird about it. But if you see someone trying to draw attention to themselves and getting strange, you know, because just lifting your hands is not strange.
Yeah.
You know,
it may look strange to you, but it's not.
People do it at football games all the time.
There you go.
And so, I mean, that's not a strange thing. But if someone's flailing around and screaming, that's strange.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is a statement from your book: don't allow other people or dead traditions to dictate your response to the Spirit of God. Let God speak to you from his word and hear what he's saying. And that brings it right back down to that intimate relationship. So say more about that.
Yes, that is exactly what we were talking about. Just because there's when I talk about dead traditions, where there are some churches or denominations that won't, you know, hardly mention the Holy Spirit, really. It's like there's just God and Jesus, and we don't even mention that other word or two words. And that's a dead tradition, you know, because you don't find that in Scripture, you know, that mm-hmm. you're not supposed to mention the Holy Spirit. If you're supposed to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, absolutely, Holy Spirit in you. You're supposed to walk in the Spirit, you know, and the Holy Spirit's always going to lead you to liberation from anything that separates you from God or keeps you from becoming all He made you to be. And, you know, Jesus forgives us of all our sins of the past and we forgive Him, but there's still habits, or can be still habits of thought or emotion or action that we need to ongoingly submit to the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. And one of my favorite scriptures about this is 2 Corinthians 3:17. I love that, where it says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of liberation, and just being in His presence brings freedom. And things begin to change, you know, and the Holy Spirit gives us access to all that God is, which is such a great gift, including His power. You know, we don't control that access, but the Holy Spirit empowers us according to His will. You know, He guides us. We don't guide Him. You know, we don't tell Him what to do. Prayer is not telling God what to do. I always tell people that. It's telling God what you want Him to do, or what you'd like Him to do, or what you want to see happen, you know. And then just He enables us to pray, as we said in the beginning.
Yeah, love that. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. We've got an anonymous caller from Minneapolis here. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. What a great program, and I so concur with so much of what's being said. And I guess one of the things, and I didn't hear the first 20 minutes, so perhaps you covered this, but talking about manifestations of the Holy Spirit, I've worked with many ministries and at Teen Challenge specifically, where there are deliverances when people are really being delivered of some very tough things. So what would you say about that? Because to an onlooker, it's frightening. I mean, their emotional center, their trauma center is being touched. Mm-hmm. That's doing a powerful work in them. But it is unusual, and it is sometimes loud, and it is sometimes very scary to someone. I mean, not to me. I guess I'm used to it, and I've seen it, and I can kind of discern between spirit and flesh. But what would you say about that? Maybe I'll
great question.
I would love some input on that.
Mm. Well, that's different than what we've been talking about. What we've been talking about is just what you see in church, or when
and responding to God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Responding. You know, when they are just manifesting something, and I think it's flesh, you know, because it's weird and frightening. But this is different. We're talking about deliverance, and people are getting delivered from some pretty horrible things, pretty ugly stuff. And I know I've been there. You know, I got delivered from these feelings of depression and fear and anxiety, really, really strong feelings. I talked about that in the beginning. I felt a physical manifestation of the lifting of that depression and that anxiety and fear and all of that. And it was my bondage was not as terrible as some other people who have been through some horrible things. And the enemy has really tortured them, you know, because of the things that they've seen or the things they've been through or the choices they've made. And that's a different thing, totally. And that can be frightening just because the enemy's frightening. The enemy's, you know, we don't have to be afraid of the enemy because Jesus has put him under his feet, you know, and we have the victory. But for someone standing around watching who doesn't know that or doesn't understand that, it can be a frightening thing. But I'm not talking about that
right
in this book at all. That is a totally different thing, and that's nothing to me abnormal or unusual about that. We're talking about getting the evil out of people's lives, you know.
Yep.
Because you can receive the Lord and you can be forgiven of all your sins, like I said, but we can still have habits of thought and action that we need to be set free of.
Yeah.
You know, if we didn't need to be set free of things, why is the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Liberty?
Yeah.
He's the Spirit of Liberty because of that.
Well, I was going to say how Jesus delivered, you know, those from demonic influence, and the disciples did as well. To me, personal opinion here, but I think those kinds of things should be done in privacy, just as counseling is done in privacy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And so, just to the anonymous caller, we were talking about situations in a church worship setting where some will throw out the Holy Spirit, like throw out the baby with the bathwater because they see something strange, and so they don't even want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And what a loss for us, because where would we be? We're desperate for the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Mm. Stormy, what would you say are strong indicators that someone lives by the Spirit, walks by the Spirit, is led by the Spirit?
Well, you can tell you sense that quality in someone like that. You sense that love of God, first of all. You know, and I've been reading so much in that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about, you know, the love of God and us acting in love. Everything we do outside of the love of God is meaningless. And it's going to pass away. Only the things that we do in the love of God, the love of God in our hearts, are the things that are going to be eternal and lasting. And you'll notice that people who really move in the Spirit are full of the love of God. That is one of the first things I think that happens when you open up to the Holy Spirit and you begin to worship God and are led by the Spirit and how you worship and led by the Spirit and how you pray but when you worship God, you it's like lifting your hands to the Lord. It's like a funnel, and God pours Himself into you as you do that. It's the most wonderful thing. When I got that picture in my mind of that He pours into us His love and His peace and His power, and all that He is gets poured into us. And the more you worship God and the more time you spend in prayer, being led by the Spirit as you pray, the more of God is poured into you, and it will begin to manifest. All of that in your heart will begin to manifest, and you'll be able to sense it, and so will other people, even if they don't understand what that is or who that is, you know, that's manifesting in you. They'll sense it. They'll sense something special about you, and it's the love of God and, you know, just all that God is by way of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you think of the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus says something is proven right by its fruit. And so how beautiful that we walk with the Spirit, love comes out of us. And so beautiful.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, you had a dream you shared about in the book where you'd lost your anointing, lost the Holy Spirit. Tell us about that dream and actually what you learned out of that experience.
It was a dream. I was really starting to... Well, you know, do a lot as far as writing and speaking and things like that. And it was just before my ministry really broke open, you know, through, I guess, breakthrough. That's what I would say, where it really began. My prayer had been that God would take my books to every part of the earth, you know. And it was there, you know, they'd only been, you know, in English before. We were praying that prayer in my prayer group. And so this was before all that happened, before the breakthrough of Praying Wife and all that. And I had this horrible dream. It was really awful, but I dreamed that I had lost the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me because I had sinned. I really sinned. I had really disobeyed God, did something I knew that wasn't the will of God for my life in that dream. And I lost the Holy Spirit and His anointing. It was the most horrendous dream, and I almost feel like it was intended for me from God, or if it was just my own conscience, you know. But it just showed me that I had to be very, very strict about everything I did, you know, not even to give an appearance of evil of any kind, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just that God had a platform for me, and that I needed, in order to be on that, I could not take any chances on even someone misconstruing something that I said or did. And so from that point on, I was really careful to make sure everything I did was, you know, from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. You know, and it was a scary dream, really. I never forgot it.
And it put the fear of God in you in a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mm. It did, because I realized that where it says too much is given, much is required. If I was going to be given the things that I kind of saw in the Spirit, I saw that I was going to one day call people to prayer. I did see that. And if I was going to be able to do that successfully, I had to be blameless in the way I lived my life. And I couldn't take any chances, I couldn't fool with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so every believer has Christ, the Spirit of Christ in them. There is a connection to the anointing of God and the sanctification of our lives. I mean, serious we take this walk, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. That is so true. You know, when Paul was always talking about a believer, he never talked about a believer as being separate from the Holy Spirit, you know. And to him, a believer had the Holy Spirit in him. And so we always have to be a place, a holy, sanctified temple for the Holy Spirit to live in, and to always be mindful of anything we do, that because he's there in us. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit of God is in us, and we can't grieve him in any way if we expect to, have God's will really fulfilled in our life. And God has more for us than we can think or imagine.
Yeah.
And we can imagine some pretty great stuff.
That's right, exactly.
But he has more for us.
More than that, absolutely.
Yeah, he does. And we can't hinder that by just, thinking we can get away with things, like, watching a movie that has things in it that don't glorify God, I'm talking about things like that. I'm not even talking about robbing a bank or killing someone. Most of us are beyond that, but just the little things in our lives that are compromises that we can't do it.
That's right.
Because we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why.
Absolutely. Well, I've been saying this time and time again on this show, and so my heart was absolutely stirred as I read what you wrote here. You said, I strongly sense, and I'm sure that you and most serious believers do as well, that a greater move of the Holy Spirit is about to break forth, such as we have not seen before in our lifetime. Stormy, I've been putting out buckets for probably the last 8 years in areas of my life just because I believe so strongly that there's going to be a fresh outpouring coming. Say a word about that and how a person listening today can prepare for this, because I think it really matters. Those who are waiting, who are preparing for rain, will experience something of God that others who aren't will not.
Well, I just know that you could see, if you have any kind of discernment at all, you just look at the world and what is happening and how all these countries are positioning themselves and what's happening in the global markets. I mean, just everything. If it's not in the Bible, I don't know where it is, because I read this in there. I mean, I see these things happen. You can see that we are either in the end times or very close, and there's going to be more and more extremes of weather, of financial problems, of wars. I mean, just the wars, you can see it all happening, and you know that the time is near. And when the time is near, God is wanting to draw so many people to himself. And we have to be the instruments. We who know the Lord, who have the Holy Spirit in us, we have to be the instruments of intercession, of prayer, of repentance for our nation, of leading others to the Lord, of helping them get free, find the freedom in Christ that Jesus died for us to have. All of these things that we have to be so aware that God wants to use us as instruments of freedom for other people in so many ways. And so we've got to be more in tune with what God wants to do in our lives. That's such an important thing.
Mm-hmm. So good. We just have a few minutes left before I ask you to pray, but I want to talk about miracles for a moment. I loved how you wrote that just because God doesn't work a miracle immediately when you pray, some people think that he never will. Say a word about miracles on God's time, on his terms, and that they actually still happen today.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people don't, they think because if they prayed and nothing happened, that nothing's ever going to happen. It may mean that it just hasn't happened yet, or maybe God's going to answer in a way that is not the way you prayed, and some people get mad at God for that. And that's so important, to trust God enough to let him answer in his way and in his time, just because he doesn't answer in the way that you pray doesn't mean that he's not answering in even a better way, But we have to be open to that and understand that, Jesus prayed for miracles himself, and he told us that we could do that too. But and there are other times too. How many times does God want us to pray for a miracle and we don't do it because we don't have the faith to believe for one, or we're not sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, And there's so many people who believe that miracles don't happen today, but I think that's just because they've never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes people don't recognize a miracle even when it's right in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times just because it wasn't the way they'd prayed, they don't realize that God did a miracle in another way, you know. And anyway, miracles are not on our terms, they're on His terms, and we just have to be able to see the real miracles in our lives and give God, you know, praise for those daily miracles and thank Him in advance for the miracles that we're going to see.
Mm. You know, just thinking of my son, and I've shared about this on the show before, but at 17 years old, he took a late hit in football and got a very serious back injury. He could barely walk for six months. He had a body brace. Their doctors were expecting him to lose control of his bowels. I mean, it was bad.
Okay.
And long story short, at a youth group meeting one night, after praying every single day, every night, Lord, just, if it's, you know, thank you by faith for a miracle, God healed him. But I've been dealing with health challenges for a lot of years. And I, of course, I want my son healed before me, but I just asked the Lord about that. And He so clearly spoke to my heart. I could heal you today, but you'd lose it tomorrow because you think like a sick person and you don't have the infrastructure to carry a miracle. And that was a miracle of God in itself. It was about 10 years ago, Lord spoke.
Yeah.
I've just renewed my mind, and that is a miracle, Stormy. I'm a walking, living, breathing miracle just in the way that my whole instinctive thought process has changed. And I see the wisdom of God of holding His hand off on this one for me, but giving it to Jordan. It boggles my mind at His wisdom.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, don't you love the stories like that? I love that.
Absolutely
love that. And that can be our experience every day. I mean, God wants to do so much in our lives that we are not open to because we either don't know it's possible or you don't know what God wants to do, or we're just kind of shut off to allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives.
Mm.
When you're open to the Holy Spirit and invite Him in, I mean, He's a gentleman. He's never going to, you know, impose Himself on you. He waits to be invited to work powerfully in your life. And so I just want to ask everyone to let Him or invite Him in to work powerfully in your life.
Indeed. Well, that's a great note to ask you to pray on. I'm thinking of that person today who just needs a fresh reminder of God's nearness and the fresh faith to ask Him, lead me, Holy Spirit. Would you pray for that person?
Yes, Lord, I pray for anyone listening today who wants so badly to know You better, who wants to sense Your presence, who wants to experience Your love and peace and joy and all the gifts of the Spirit that You have for them, Lord God. I pray that Your Spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, will give them a sense and the ability to make wise decisions and choices, and that they'll be able to store up that wisdom, Lord God, in a way that allows them to wisely choose Your way in everything that they do, Lord. I pray that they'll be able to hear Your voice speaking to them, Lord God. And where anyone does not know the Lord, I pray that you will lead them on a path directly to You, Jesus, and so that You can fill them with Your Holy Spirit. I pray for anyone listening today who wants to hear Your voice, Holy Spirit, speaking to them, I pray that You will enable that to happen, Lord, that You will speak to them powerfully today as they turn to Your Word and as they turn to You in prayer, God, and as they seek You, Lord. I pray that they will be able to live a life that they can't possibly live without You, Lord, because they turn to You in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, thank You, Stormy. And I'm going to give you this passage from Isaiah 25. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He'll remove forever all insults and mockery against His land and people. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in Him, and He saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation He brings."
Amen.
Powerful show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I'm going to ask you a favor. Share this one. Give us a minute. The podcast will be up. And with a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, Twitter. Today is my blog day. You can check it out. The title is Silence Your Unbelief. That's at suzylarson.com. I'll be talking to a couple who were part of a miracle. They had a small dream, and God moved it into a big dream. That's tomorrow on Live the Promise. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.